I couldn't really miss it out. But let's say you got on the underground, you might emerge at our final U. Yes, because I'm going to take us, well, we're going to emerge at London Bridge Station, actually. But when we come out, we're going to turn right down Tooley Street. And we're going to head for this. Now, this is called More London. What's More London? Well, it's a contemporary millennial project of 13 acres of the riverside with new glass and metal buildings, a sort of wonderful new contemporary offices, shops, restaurants, which sort of hugs the river. Here it also has City Hall, which was the new headquarters of the Mayor of London. It was all part of the Millennium Project of More London, creating more of London in what had been a derelict sort of a warehouse area. And what's charming about it is you get these tantalising glimpses through the sort of gleaming glass and metal corridors of these new buildings. Can you see at the end, there's Tower Bridge peeking out at us. So it's really disarming. But if you were to walk down this particular bit of More London and turn right, you would be greeted by this, the Unicorn Theatre. U for Unicorn. And this is the very first purpose-built professional children's theatre in London. It cost £13 million and it is an astonishing space. It's like, if you like, the sort of National Theatre for Kids. It has a 350-seater auditorium. There's also a smaller studio theatre. There's wonderful educational classes and rooms. There's cafes. There's lots of space to run around. Kids have really been thought of beautifully in the Unicorn Theatre. And it was designed by an Irish architect called Keith Williams. And here we can see him in his hard hat. And the Unicorn Theatre, being a kids' theatre, said we really want children's input. And so here we see the Unicorn's young consultants who were working with the architect on ideas and concepts for the foyer, for the auditorium, for the backstage area, on colour schemes. They really wanted the kids' input. And these young consultants all came from the local Tower Bridge Primary School. Now, not all of the ideas were taken on board. For example, one little boy said, I think the floor should be made of chocolate. That didn't get the green light, as you can imagine. But there were all other sorts of interesting ideas that were incorporated, including the L-shaped foyer, complete with this stunning unicorn sculpture. And there is a really fresh, young feeling when you go into the Unicorn. I mean, I have to say, it's a far cry from its beginnings, because the Unicorn Theatre started off as the concept of this woman, Carol Jenner, and she had trained as an assistant stage manager. She then became a theatre director, and her idea was to bring kids' theatre to all of the country, and to make it good, high quality theatre, not to fob kids off with something substandard. So she had high standards, Carol Jenner, and she started what became known as the Mobile Theatre Company in 1947, and in 1957 they're touring, bringing theatre to villages and sort of the very outskirts of the country as well. She bought secondhand two ex-MOD trucks, so they're Ministry of Defence trucks, and she puts the actors in one and the scenery in the other, and off they go. And if you like, it's the beginning of theatre and education. Eventually, the Unicorn decides, the name changes to the Unicorn in the 1960s, and they decide to be stationary. And for many years, they were here at the Arts Theatre, right on the cusp of Covent Garden. But my goodness me, in 2005, they get this astonishing new venue. And I think Carol Jenner would be absolutely thrilled to know about the Unicorn. Now, of course, the Unicorn has been dark since before Christmas, but great news, they've just announced their first live post-pandemic production is going to be Annecy the Spider Respun, which is a kind of very quirky mishmash of lots of little folklore tales from West Africa and the Caribbean. And they're doing it outside because it's going to be a co-production with Regent's Park Open Air, which is fantastic. It starts on the 7th of July. It's going to run for 6 weeks. So, you know, the tickets are online now, so book, particularly if you've got somebody from the age of 3 to 7, although I think I'd quite like to go myself, to be honest. And yes, but of course, this isn't the only unicorn in London, isn't it? Because they're everywhere. The unicorns are all over town because of this. The Royal Coat of Arms, yes. So we've got the Golden Lion of England, and we've got the Unicorn of Scotland on the right there, and they're supporting Her Majesty's Coat of Arms. This is the Royal Standard, isn't it? But of course, the unicorn came into the equation because this is the Scottish Royal Coat of Arms, which really came into effect in the 1400s. So Scottish kings and queens, this would be, and we've got two unicorns. Why the unicorn? Well, the unicorn is considered to be a very powerful and pure creature. And you'll notice that there are chains around the unicorn because they're so strong and powerful that they need to be sort of reined in. And the only person that can kill the unicorn is the king or queen, who has the divine right to rule by God. And so they're very powerful, magical creatures. And yes, we see them everywhere on the Royal Warrant outside Fort the Masons. Here we have another being displayed in Florence in St. James's, or Hatchards has also got the Royal Warrant. So the unicorn is everywhere. But my last U is for you for unusual, because you might know this, but there is one coat of arms in London that doesn't have just one unicorn, but two, and it belongs to, yes, this, one of the many livery company halls in the Old City. This is the Apothecaries Hall, which is actually the oldest surviving livery company hall in the whole of London. And the apothecaries were all about medicine, and they were all about curing, and they were given their royal charter when, yes, King James came to the throne. So King James had been King James VI of Scotland, but he became King James I of England, bringing with him the Scottish unicorn to be put on the Royal Coat of Arms. And because he got their Royal Charter put through in 1617, as a thank you, the apothecaries decided to have two unicorns, not one. And it's a rather gorgeous coat of arms. You can see in the centre, the roundel, the golden figure is actually Apollo, who's the healing god. And he's basically killing the dragon of disease. So he's winning over disease. And you've got unicorns on either side, which of course have a magical, ethereal, fantasy quality, but also a curative quality. And right at the top, can you see a little rhinoceros? Yes, because the rhinoceros horn is always considered to be having magical medicinal qualities too. So I think it's one of the most beautiful coats of arms in London. And it ends U for unicorn.